Amen.
So how many of you are on spring break right now? Nice. How many had it already? Ah, that's most people are done. That's the Montclair and Seton Hall crew right there, right?
Yeah.
So that's good. It's good. God said happy spring break with a crazy snowstorm. So that's what we're in the middle of. Hope you guys had a great snowed-in day yesterday. Chelsea and I had, and Bradley, had Genesis and Leah come over on Monday night, and they spent the night. We hung out together all day Tuesday, so that was a lot of fun. And here we are for midweek. So I definitely appreciate those of you that made it out here tonight. I know driving conditions aren't necessarily the best, so we'll try to wrap it up here and head out earlier than usual before things become more and more icy. And obviously we've got, Mark and Charles are up in Boston. Mark texted me that they went ice fishing with Jesse Goman today. So they're up there doing that. That's cool. I wanted to do that. I was up there ice fishing. And Matt is snowed in up in Vermont right now, could not get his car out of his spot, so pray for him. That's crazy. But good stuff going on. So we're studying out the book of Acts, and spring break basically means we're halfway done with the semester, right? That's like the halfway point. We're 75% of the way done with our study of the book of Acts. And so we've got about, three quarters of the way through the book of Acts, and we've got 2 months left to finish this out. So tonight we're going to look at Acts chapter 18, verse 18 to 19, verse 7. And continuing our theme of the way, as we're trying to imitate the disciples of the first century who were closely following Jesus, who is the way for us to follow. So the title of my lesson for tonight is Fervor for the Word. Fervor for the Word of God. Right? And my hope is that we could all leave here tonight fervent, having fervor, which means zeal or passion or enthusiasm for God's Word. Fervent for the Word. Amen? Cool. Acts chapter 18, verse 18. We need a point title that has something to do with fervor or fire or something to help warm it up in here. You gotta have some passion, Because it's cold in here. So we can try to focus on the Word of God instead of the temperature. And then we'll be warmer. Acts chapter 18, verse 18. We'll read 18 to 23 first. It says, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. I know last week we heard a little more about them, right? Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Centre because of a vow he had taken. What started in the Old Testament was this thing called a Nazarite vow people would take. It's kind of like a way of fasting, in a sense, and part of that was not cutting your hair for a period of time. So apparently Paul had done a Nazarite vow. You can look more up about that, and he cut his hair. Verse 19, they arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is God's will. Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time in Antioch, Paul set out from there and traveled from place to place throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. So Paul planted all these churches, and then he went back through strengthening the disciples in the churches that had been planted. What we see here is that Paul is now traveling with Priscilla and Aquila, who last week I know you learned more about. And, I think that's something to just pause, and it's good to remember, I think I don't do this enough, is past lessons continuing to be fulfilled in what we're currently reading. Like a month ago or so, I did a lesson about following God's plan for our life, right? Do you remember that? And how by following God's plan, they saw all these great things happen in the rest of that chapter that we read that night, right? But really, this is still the same trip. So still, all of the things that have been happening since then are still part of them deciding to follow God's plan. So we're still seeing good being added to what's coming out of them following God's plan. And part of the good we're seeing here now is a church being planted in the city of Ephesus. And we're grateful that a church is planted in Ephesus because, there's disciples there then, but also because there's a letter in the Bible to the disciples there called Ephesians. And that's a great book of the Bible, isn't it? So we could be grateful for that too. So what happens? Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila, they're in the boat, they land at Ephesus, they get out, and Paul goes into the synagogue, preaches there a little bit, but then he keeps going. He travels on to Caesarea, to Antioch, and he leaves Priscilla and Aquila there. So he's basically there for one day, preaches a bit, and then leaves Priscilla and Aquila there to plant the church in Ephesus. So the church in Ephesus was started, planted, and built by Priscilla and Aquila. Isn't that pretty cool? So Paul's with them. He's like, all right, you guys stay here. Get this church going. This is an important city. I'm going to keep going, and then I'll come back after I've traveled around some more. You know, the past few weeks, I feel like I've done that. I feel like I've handed you guys over to some other preachers and then sailed on to go to a few other places, you know? I was out preaching in the Bronx and Westchester campus midweek a few weeks ago. Then the week after that, I was speaking in the Brooklyn campus midweek. I know that first week that Matt and Chelsea spoke here. The second week, Mark and Kyrie preached, and then we had some sharing from the spring retreat. And then last week, I was home strengthening myself because I was sick. So I was having a midweek of Rob get better. And I know Mark and Charles did a great job speaking last night. Amen? So I felt like Paul, just like, all right, you guys take care of this. I'm just going to kind of go around to Bronx and Brooklyn. And then now I'm back. So it feels good to be. It's been a whole month since I was at midweek here in New Jersey. So think about that. I missed 3 midweeks. So that's 4 weeks have gone by. So I miss you guys. So it's great to be back with you all.
I missed you too, Rob.
So, you know, Paul, it says in verse 23 that Paul went around doing what? Strengthening the disciples, right? Would you guys like to be strengthened in your discipleship? Would you guys like to be stronger in your faith?
Yeah.
Strengthened in your discipleship, stronger in your faith to grow spiritually? Well, what we're going to see in the rest of this chapter here is one major way that we can be strengthened spiritually. And that's being fervent for the Word of God. And a great example of somebody who grew spiritually and was used by God and who was fervent for the Word of God is a man named Apollos. And we're going to go ahead and read about Apollos right here to learn from his example. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Cool. Acts 18, verse 24. So it says, meanwhile. So this is while Paul's out traveling, this is taking place during the same time. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. So Priscilla and Aquila are in Ephesus, and now this guy shows up there. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. You know, Apollos was a little bit off on one area, which was baptism. And obviously that is the thing that Priscilla and Aquila sat down and explained to him more adequately, because that's the thing mentioned he was a little bit off on. But aside from that, this guy was lifted up as an awesome example, isn't he?
Yeah.
And even after he's fixed on that, he goes on and he travels around, you know, it says vigorously refuting the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah, right? So we see Apollos, so much of what it says about Apollos is pointing out his passion for the scriptures. How he knew that he had knowledge of the scriptures. He preached accurately about Jesus. He was instructed in the scriptures. He proved from the scriptures. Do you guys see just what an emphasis there was with Apollos on the scriptures in this passage? You know, Apollos was a man passionate about the Word of God. And that led to him doing great things for God. First of all, it led to him becoming a true disciple himself, corrected in one area he was off on there, and then becoming somebody who is filled with truth and passion to build God's church. And obviously, Apollos went on to do great things in the church. And I think there's an important lesson for us to learn here is that if we want to grow spiritually, if you want to grow spiritually, then you must eagerly go to the Word of God.
Right.
You've got to be somebody who's fervent, who's vigorous, who's bold, who's eager to dig into the Bible and to have the Bible dug deep into you. That's where growth comes from.
Right.
In your discipleship, in your faith, in your holiness, it comes from being in the Bible. You know, there's so many verses that would support this. Apollos is obviously proof by example, but Jesus says in John 17, he's praying. And he prays about a lot of stuff. He prays for his disciples to be unified. He prays for us to be protected from Satan. And one of the things he prays for is for us to be sanctified, which means to be made holy or to be made more like God. And in John 17, verse 7, Jesus says, verse 17. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. Right? So Jesus wants us to be sanctified, which means being continually made more holy, more like God, to be more spiritual, more filled with the Spirit and like the Spirit and letting the Spirit live through us. And he says that the way that we're sanctified is through his word. It says, sanctify them through your word. So as you're in the Bible, reading the Bible, applying the Bible to yourself, writing it on your heart and on your mind, you are being sanctified.
Right.
You know, you're being transformed into a more holy disciple, a more holy person after the image of God. Isn't that awesome? You know, in Romans 10:17, it says, now faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ, right? So we know that the word of Christ is all of the word of God,
right,
because Christ is God.
Right.
And that's where faith comes from. It comes from hearing the message. You know, so as you're reading your Bible, as you're letting the Bible sink into you, your faith is increasing. You know, the depth of your faith, the purity of your faith, the sincerity of your faith, you know, the truth behind your faith. As you're reading the Bible, it says that you're being strengthened in your faith. And for those reasons and many more, we should be people who are passionate, in love with, and fervent about the Word of God. You know, we should be like Jesus, who was like, man does not live on bread alone, but man lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You know, like, man, just like my physical body needs food, my spiritual body needs scriptures. I need God's words. This is my food. Psalm 119 says, like, this is like light to our path or light to our eyes in 1 Peter, right? And in Psalm 119, it also says that God's word is like honey to our mouth. You know, it makes us stronger. It makes our world brighter. We can see more clearly, and it tastes good as we digest it. You know, disciples are students. We're learners of Jesus. We're learners of the way of God. We're trying to learn the way of God. What was Jesus like? How should I live as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple? And the only way that we could possibly know that is from the scriptures. You know, Jesus isn't here in the flesh, but John 1:1 says the word is God and the word is Christ, right? So by being in the Bible, we're really being students, we're really being disciples. So we've got to soak it in, eat it up, and just guzzle it down. Just get as much word into us as we possibly can. You know, I've got three quick practicals here of how you should apply the word in your life. You should teach yourself the word, you should let others teach you the word, and you should teach the word to others. Right? That's three major ways that we should have the word of God in our life, is you should teach yourself the word, let others teach you the word, and then teach others the word as well. You know, teach yourself the word. Just a few things here. You know, it says about Apollos that he was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. Could that be said about you? Are you a learned man or are you a learned woman with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures? How's your Bible knowledge? How well do you know the scriptures? Do you know what the books of the Bible are about? Have you read the books of the Bible? Have you read most of the books or all the books of the Bible? You know, can you turn to different scriptures on different topics? If somebody said, show me one prophecy in the Old Testament about Jesus that was fulfilled, can you turn to one? You know, if somebody said, show me a scripture that teaches that pride is wrong, show me a scripture that I'm being selfish, can you turn to one? You know, do you have a thorough knowledge of the scriptures? Show me I need to be baptized to be forgiven. Show me that I need to also live like a disciple, not just believe in God. You know, do you have a knowledge of the scriptures?
You know, that's something that we've got a conviction about, is that we, you know, we learn a lot from lessons at midweek and Sunday and D times and people show up, whatever, but first and foremost, we should be teaching the Bible to ourselves. Right. I mean, one-on-one time where we sit down and go, Jesus, teach me. We sit at the feet of Jesus, we open up the Bible, and we teach ourselves the Word of God. More than you study for any class in school, more than you're trying to learn something about a hobby that you have, you should be trying to learn the Bible. This matters more than anything.
Right.
You know, you've got to know the Bible. Learn the truth about God. You know, I want to encourage you to try to have a well-rounded knowledge of the Scriptures. To not just study out certain topics, but to study out all topics. To not just read certain parts of the Bible, but to read all parts of the Bible. You know, if every day your quiet time is reading Scriptures that are focused primarily on comforting and encouraging you, that's going to help with that. But you're kind of getting a biased view of the Bible. Where's the other side where you need the correction and the discipline and the challenge, you know? And if all you're doing is reading that and you're becoming just a works-based, you know, like just workaholic disciple, then you got to read those, you got to learn to appreciate the Psalms and to read those passages that are more supportive and encouraging, you know? So I would encourage you to have well-rounded. You know, sometimes all we read is parts of the Bible that, you know, we're interested in, but what about the other parts, you know? Because when we read the whole Bible, that's where we really start to get the full story and get the full picture of who God is.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, you've got to learn, you know, learn the full Bible picture. Learn to give a sweeping overview of God and who God is and his interaction with people and, you know, what all of that has been like, you know? I think memorizing verses is just, there's no replacement for that.
You right.
Just really, really getting Scriptures written on the tablet of your heart and of your mind.
Right.
You know, doing that because you just read, you know, sometimes I accidentally memorize verses. I've just read them to myself or to others so many times that it's like, it's just in there now. But then there's also, you know, making flashcards and deciding, I'm going to, these verses, I want to know these, you know, and really memorizing those. But, you know, I mean, if you, most of human history, humans did not have printed material. So if you wanted to know the Scriptures back in the first century or for many centuries after that, you would have, when you went to temple or when you went to church on Sunday or whatever, whenever it was that the Scriptures were read, you would try so hard to memorize it because you didn't have a copy of it yourself.
Right.
You wouldn't have an opportunity to hear it again until maybe the next week, right. You know, or the next time that people were together wherever these copies of the Scriptures were. You know, so they had to memorize Scriptures. So I think that should be something we're trying to do as well, is really trying to memorize passages of the Bible. You know, I really think that Samuel is such a great example of this. And 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, Samuel was one of the early judges and prophets in the Old Testament before Israel had a king. God really used Samuel, and he's the one that went on to appoint David later on. And, you know, Samuel was a kid, not like really young, but he was younger. And he's laying in bed at night, and he hears a voice calling him Samuel. And he doesn't know who it is, right? And then, you know, he gets up and goes and speaks to one of the other prophets, and they said, the Lord is speaking to you. Listen to whatever he tells you. And the Lord calls to him again, Samuel. And Samuel's response is, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And, you know, I've just written that on the first page of my Bible. Just to have that heart and that mindset of, speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Yeah.
You know, that's just our heart. That's our mindset. Is God, whatever you've got to say, I'm focused on you. I'm here to listen to it.
Right.
You know, that's, I think, where we should be at. Two things I'm really excited about is I do think that one of the things we could grow in as a campus ministry is our study and knowledge of the Bible. You know, just out of curiosity, how many of you have read the whole Bible? Cool. So like 5 or 6 people. So that's encouraging. Give it up for those people. Reading the whole Bible. That's great. So how many of you would like to read the whole Bible? Good. So let's do it, right? You know, I remember being a few months old as a disciple, maybe 2 months, a month. It was young. And I remember I was in class, and the professor brought up the Bible, and he was like, you know, people used to know the Bible. He's like, nobody reads the Bible anymore. He turns to class, he's like, has anybody in here read the whole Bible? And I thought he was going to say, does anybody read the Bible? But he said, has anybody in here read the whole Bible? And I just was like, nobody raised their hand. And I just was convicted. I'm like, here I am, one of the only disciples of Jesus on my whole college campus, and I can't even raise my hand that I've read God's word, you know? Like, and so I set out, and in the next, like, 5 months, I read the whole Bible. I was just like, I just want that to be done with. Like, I read the whole Bible, you know? And honestly, a lot of it I just speed read, but I've gone back and read each slowly, so it's okay. But here's two things I want to throw out there as an idea for our ministry to do that I'm pretty excited about. So this is not like everybody has to do this, but, you know, if you want to, I'm throwing this out there as an idea. But I would love it is if this summer, during the summer break, whether you're back home or you stay here in Jersey, I think it would be amazing if as a ministry, whoever wanted to, read the whole New Testament together. And if I made out a plan already where we start towards the end of May, finish mid-August. You read 2 to 3 chapters a day, and together we would all be reading the same chapter, 2 or 3 chapters every day, and read the whole New Testament by the end of the summer. That'd be pretty cool?
Yeah.
So you don't have to do it, but I'm going to send it out. Maybe we'll have an email thread, and every day people could write in there and the group me things that stood out to you. But I think it would be so good for each of us and for our ministry to get the full New Testament picture. Does that sound good? Cool. The other thing that I worked on making, and I'm really encouraged, Jessica Almiron is going to type these up better. But what I'm calling the manna challenge. And in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but
by
every word that comes from the mouth of God. Some of the words?
Every word.
Every word that comes from the mouth of God, right? And he's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, which is where Moses is telling the Israelites, you know, God gave you manna from heaven. Every day he gave you food from heaven, your daily portion. And just like you relied on God for the manna every day, so also man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So just like you relied on the manna for your physical food, you need to also rely on every word from God's mouth for spiritual food. That's what you live on. So I'm working on this manna challenge where you would read the whole Bible in 2 years. I know sometimes these one-year plans are a little bit intimidating, but 2 years, the plan that I made, it's already made up. Jessica's just got to type it to me. You would read the whole Bible in 2 years, and the New Testament is throughout it twice. So you'd read the New Testament twice, the Old Testament once, and then part of that is so that when you're in Leviticus and Numbers, you could get a little New Testament to help you out a little bit for some of those portions. But I also did it, I broke it up so the whole Old Testament is chronological rather than by genre, right? Because that's how the Old Testament is organized, is by genre, not chronology. So I've got this plan made out, and this is just going to be something that I would think it would be great if everybody did at some point. You take the manna challenge, and then when you're done with the whole thing, we could have an award for you and say, hey, you know, Shauna did the manna challenge, here's her award or whatever, right? So is that cool?
Yeah.
So how many of you think you would take the manna challenge? Great. So I'm excited to get that out to you. But for now, how many of you think you'd want to join together in reading the whole New Testament this summer together? Awesome. So I'm excited about that. So, teach yourself the word. Amen?
Amen.
Secondly, let others teach you the word. You know, it says about Apollos, it says that he was instructed in the way of the Lord. That means somebody else was teaching him things about God, right? He was instructed. And it says he knew only the baptism of John. Somebody else had taught him about that, obviously, because he was from Egypt, right? So, first thing, instructed in the way of the Lord. As much as we all need to teach ourselves, we all also need other people helping to teach us the Bible.
Right.
Right? Not just before we were Christians, but also as disciples, we need other people instructing us in the way of the Lord. Right? So that's something to have conviction about. Then it says he knew only the baptism of John. You know, Apollos is lifted up as such an awesome guy, right? Learned thorough knowledge of the scriptures, preached boldly, but he only knew this about baptism, right? So I take that, well, how does that apply to me? Well, what that means for me is, Rob, as much as you can know, there's still always new things for you to learn.
Right.
Right? That as much as we all might feel like we know about God or about the Bible or about discipleship, there's still so much more we all have to learn. Right? And that's the heart we should always have, is we're disciples, we're students. We still have more to learn. You know, with that, I'd like to say, I think it's important we make sure that we, as we learn from others, that we're learning from the right people, right? So it says he knew only the baptism of John. So somebody taught him some good stuff, but somebody also taught him not the fullness of what he needed to know, right? So we've got to make sure that we're learning from the right people. We need to be careful of false doctrine, you know? Whenever I read a commentary or I read a spiritual book that's not by a disciple, I take what I can from it, but I also filter it. And I go, you know what? I see false doctrine here, you know? Or this isn't lining up with scripture, so I need to filter that, you know?
Right.
Or go to commentary, and I'm like, okay, he just completely ignored what it said about baptism right there. But, okay, amen. You know? So, you know, get instructed from others, but make sure the people that you're getting instruction from are teaching you what's good and what's right, not just anybody, right?
Right.
You know, and even from other disciples, we want to make sure that when we go for advice or we're going to get help from others, that we're getting advice and help from people who are doing well spiritually. Right, not just, well, he's a disciple, so I'll ask him, or she's a disciple, so I'll ask her. Or do they know anything about this topic? Have they experienced it before? You know, are they doing well spiritually, right? So just thinking about, well, who am I allowing to instruct me? And Apollos went to Priscilla and Aquila, which were two great people to instruct him more on the way of God. You know, I also think, just in a couple of remarks closing this point, but I think Apollos is such a good example of just being humble.
Right.
And teachable. You know, I mean, this guy's out preaching fervently. He knows the Bible really well, instructed, preaching adequately. And then he's off on this one area. I mean, he could have easily had an attitude of like, you guys leave me alone. You know what I mean? Like, I'm out here preaching and you're pulling me aside, trying to talk to me about something. He just humbly met up with Priscilla and Aquila and let them instruct him on an area that he was off in. Humble, teachable, rather than being emotional or defensive or arrogant about it, like, I don't need to learn from you, or why are you trying to talk to me about this,
right.
Or defending himself. He just let them, and he's all the better for it, right?
Yeah.
You know, so I just want to encourage you to have that heart, too. When somebody pulls you aside to try to teach the Bible to you, that you let them instruct you.
Mm-hmm.
That there might be something that you're off in, like Apollos was, that person is only doing that to try to help just further make you more sanctified,
right.
And
right.
Like Jesus and in line with truth. Amen?
Yeah.
So let's let people teach us and then also go after learning from others ourselves. I definitely think something that's so important is when you see that somebody has a strength that knows something that you don't, is doing better in an area than you are, has a strength that you don't have, rather than judging them about it or being insecure about it or, I don't know, whatever you might feel, just go learn from them instead. You know, if you notice somebody is strong in an area you're not strong in, instead of being like, whatever, or judging them or, you know, turning away from that relationship, go after them and be like, hey, I noticed how zealous you are sharing your faith. I feel like I have such a hard time. Can you teach me how you do that? You know, or, hey, I notice you have such great Bible study, or, hey, I notice you have such great relationships with other brothers or with sisters, or can you teach me about that? Or,
right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so when you notice a strength in somebody else, instead of being insecure about that or, you know, defensive towards them, just go after learning from them. Such a great way to approach it instead. And lastly, teach others the word. So teach yourself the word, and then let others teach you the word, and then you teach others the word yourself. It says that he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. You know, Apollos was just a Bible beast, and I think that's what we want to be too, is people who really do just know the Bible really well. We know the scriptures, you know? It says, taught about Jesus accurately. I want to encourage you guys to make it a life goal to know as much about Jesus as you possibly can. Just that one of your things is, I want to know about Jesus accurately.
Right.
I want to know Jesus as accurate, precisely, the depth of his character, his being of God, of who he is, as deep and as well as I can. He spoke boldly in the synagogue. We should speak boldly to others about God as well, vigorously refuting the Jewish opponents, proving from the scriptures. You know, last thing I'll say about this point is that we should really let the Bible be our proof for what we believe.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I love it says proving from the scriptures.
Right.
You know, for disciples, when you read something in the Bible, when somebody shows you a scripture, when you see something in the Bible, that should be proof enough for you.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you know what? What do I need to be proven? I just need some scriptures.
Right.
If God says it, I believe it.
Right.
If it's in God's word, then it's true. I believe it.
Right.
You know, that's the type of fervor we need to have for the word of God is if God says it, I believe it. You know, he was proving to others from the scriptures. That's all we need to do as we try to study the Bible with other people is just base what we're teaching on the scriptures. Prove the scriptures to other people. You know, get in Bible studies with people and just try to prove to them through the scriptures about who Jesus is
right.
and who they need to be. You know, have it be your fervor that you regularly open the Bible with other disciples to show them things, to encourage them, to instruct them, and have it be your conviction to regularly open the Bible with the lost as well, trying to help them be proven about who Jesus is through the Bible. Amen? You know, last thing I'll say about this is I think it's so important for us as disciples to make sure that we don't think that we're better than other people because we have the truth.
Yeah.
Better than false Christians or better than non-Christians, right? Which are non-Christians, but I mean people that aren't Christian at all. You know what I mean? You know, it says later on in Acts 18, it says, on arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. So the people who believed the truth, what was it by that led them to believe?
Grace.
It was by grace. Right? And if we all think about it, it's only by God's grace that we know the truth about God, about discipleship, about conversion. The things we know is only by God's grace that we know it anyway. You know, it's either because you're lucky enough that somebody reached out to your parents and they were open and they became Christians so that you could grow up in an environment to learn it from them, right? Or you were lucky enough to be walking in the right place at the right time for some random stranger to stop you and invite you to come so you could learn it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's only by God's grace that we believe the truth. It's only by God's grace. This is a gift of grace.
Yeah.
The fact that we have the Bible is God saying, you know what? I'm going to show you some undeserved favor, some mercy. I'm going to lend you a hand. Here's some secrets for how to make life work. Here's the road ahead, you know? I mean, this is only by God's grace that we know the truth, we have the truth. So, with that being said, I think it's so important that we become just passionate students of the Word who get to know the Bible super, super well. I mean, just thorough knowledge of the Scriptures and really knowing so much about Jesus and true sound doctrine. But as we're learning more and more and more and more, we're not puffing up, but we're continuing to be filled with love and with grace for other people as well. And that we always stay humble. And no matter how much we learn or how much we grow, we're always humble to letting other people show us the Word of God and learning from others as well. Amen?
Amen.
So I just want to close out encouraging you to be fervent about God's Word, to take full advantage of what you have. You know, God is amazing. He is the only God. He is the creator of the universe. You know, he spoke all the stars into existence, the universe. He intricately designed the planet, the ecosystems, every animal, trees, the human body. And he's just phenomenal.
Right.
And he gave us words that we could read to actually hear from him. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Like God, our Savior, the guy who came down and embodied in Jesus and died on the cross for us. We could actually read his words. It's amazing. You know, through the Bible, we have a doorway into the way of God. You know, the way of God is the way of truth. It's the way of righteousness. It's the way of holiness. It's the best way of life. It's the right way to live. I think it's the only way to live. If you're going to live, be a disciple. I mean, there's just nothing better than being a disciple of Jesus. Plus, it's the roadway to heaven, you know? And that's eternity there. So, you know, the Bible really is... It's just, we have the opportunity to just go life our own way, walk in the darkness, get all sorts of bruises, scrapes, and pain. Or we have the opportunity every day to open the Bible and have the door open to God's way and
right.
live by that instead.
Right.
So we should be people who are fervent and passionate about living according to God's Word. So that's my encouragement for us tonight. My homework for you is to read Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because that's the chapter that man does not live on bread alone, but every word from the mouth of God. That whole chapter is incredible. Read Deuteronomy chapter 8. Secondly, read Psalm 119. And I would encourage you to read it out loud. Maybe even pair up with somebody and read it. But sometime in the next week, just read Psalm 119 and just bask. The whole Psalm, longest chapter of the Bible, is about how amazing God's Word is.
Yeah.
And it can really build in you just some gratitude and passion for God's Word as well.
Right.
But I'm excited to read the whole New Testament together over the summer. I'm excited for the Manna Challenge and having a ministry where within 2 years, every disciple in the ministry has read the whole Bible.
Wow.
And then you're just starting it all over again, right?
Yeah.
Whole New Testament twice. It'll be awesome. But I would love to see the way that God would use each one of us like used Apollos. If we follow his example and we're humble and we're fervent about the Word of God as well. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Amen.